I'm happy to explain to you this morning how prayer works, what it is, and how best to do it. And I think, for the first time, I can sum that up easily. Explain every last detail to you. And if you leave this morning and you don't have a full understanding of it, then it's you, not me. Of course, I'm joking. Let me start by thinking about it this way. How many of you, by raising your hands, don't worry, I won't call on you, okay? So it's safe. How many of you would raise your hand and say that you had a good relationship with your parent, your guardian, whoever raised you? How many would say yeah, okay? I know not everybody does, but several of you put your hands up. And I want to know if anyone would like to share what made that a good relationship. Anybody want to just toss something out? No? Okay, that's fine too. Great. Everybody put both hands up and stretch. We still have a ways to go this morning. Stay with me. Well, if you felt like a good relationship with the person that raised you, parent, guardian, grandparent, whatever that was, odds are it wasn't because you got what you wanted every time you asked. Now, as a child, we think that's great fun. Everything I ask for, I get. A, that doesn't happen in any household that I've ever seen. B, that doesn't make a great relationship, right? Just because you get what you want all the time doesn't make a great relationship. In fact, that relationship goes south the first time you don't get what you want. If you think you had a good relationship with that person that raised you, it probably was not because the person who raised you never talked with you. Odds are that if you didn't speak to your mom or your dad or your grandparent and they didn't speak to you, that did not make a great relationship, right? If you think you had a good relationship with the person that raised you, it also probably was not because they agreed with you 100% of the time. If they agree with you 100% of the time, they are not truly being good or helpful or kind to you. They're just being like a yes person. You can carry a piece of drywall with you. It'll do the same thing. It will never argue. Just go where you go. Do what you want. That doesn't make a great relationship. Not with a parent or a grandparent or a friend or a spouse. Like, if they agree with you all the time about everything, that makes another you. Probably, if I had to guess, for those that raised your hands, what made a great relationship with the person that raised you was the ability to trust that person. Trust is a huge thing, and I'll bet that was a key ingredient to having a good relationship. I would also guess that because you trusted them, you could depend on that person. There was an openness between you and that person. Even sometimes, maybe you had to listen to that person. But I'll bet those are the ingredients that if you sprinkled them all in and mixed them together, made a good relationship. And here's a tip, and this is free. You can take it home, stick it in the fridge, pull it out later. Like, those are key ingredients to good relationships in general. If you can trust someone, if you can depend on them, if you have an openness between you, if you listen and share, that makes a great relationship. And so as I do the last message in the series, how does that work? And I'm talking about prayer. I'm going to say this up front, that prayer is like a relationship, that it goes best with trust, and it's built on trust. And out of trust blossoms dependence and openness and the ability to talk and listen. But think of prayer as a relationship, because that's what we do. We foster our relationship with God through prayer. And Jesus, because I like to talk about Jesus, because I want to be like Jesus, Jesus trusted God as his Father. The same God that we pray to, Jesus prayed to, and he trusted God, and he trusted his very life into his hands. And we can find examples where Jesus talked to God. And we can find examples where Jesus got away from everyone and went and listened to God. Jesus knew he could always approach God. Jesus had a good relationship with God. And in Matthew, we see Jesus teaching his disciples to pray using this prayer. Don't stop me if you've heard this one before. Jesus is teaching them how to pray, and he says, well, this is how you should go about it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus trusted God explicitly, fully, followed God 100%, had again what we would call a very good relationship with his Father, and offered that prayer as a model for us. What's the most important part of that prayer? Who knows? But I know what was up front. Father, I glorify you, you know, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, let it come. And your will, let it be done. Jesus asked for things, and Jesus thanked God, and Jesus talked with God. But I love that right up front was, I'm going to trust you so much that before I ask for anything else, I'm going to say, God, the way that you want to set things up and order things and make everything, let's have that. Whatever you want me to do and you want me to be about, let's have that. So I'm giving you that, the Lord's Prayer, and we prayed it together earlier, because I want you to hold that as the backdrop for everything else that we talk about this morning, okay? That idea that Jesus had a great relationship with God, trusted God, went to God and prayed, your kingdom let it come, and your will let it be done. Prayer works best when it's an act born out of trust. Just again, like you could trust that person that you would say raised you and you had a good relationship with. When we can rely on someone else, when we feel safe opening ourselves to someone else, when we both want to listen to and talk with someone else, when we know that the other person has in mind what's best for us and that they will provide for us, that's what builds a good relationship. That's how prayer should work, is an act of trust. So before I go any farther, and before you get either frustrated or completely enamored with what I have to say or somewhere in between, I'm going to give you, like I have the other time, some resources. If you want, open your phones, get a piece of paper, make a few notes. If you're like, well, Pastor Devin's typically full of crud. I wonder if anybody else has helpful information. They do. Tim Keller has a book, and Tim Keller and I don't always see things eye to eye, but you know, sometimes he has extremely great points. But Tim Keller has a book called Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. Has some excellent thoughts on prayer. Bill Hybels, one of my favorites, has a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. It's not all about how prayer works, but he has some points in there that are excellent. Bill Hybels, Too Busy Not to Pray. And then Adam Hamilton, a book I pointed out earlier, has a book simply called Why? Has a whole section on prayer. So those are three great resources that if you can't understand or don't want to listen to anything I have to say, well, at least go and check those out. So many times, I think this is what happens when we talk about prayer, when people think about prayer. And this is part of the reason that I want to talk about it this morning. I think this is what happens. People get cynical and say, well, prayer doesn't work anyway. Or if it does, how does it work? And that usually boils down to, why doesn't God answer every prayer? And that's usually born out of, why haven't I gotten what I wanted? And I don't mean to sound really snarky there, but that's what it boils down to a lot of times. Well, how come God doesn't answer every prayer? Which usually again comes from, why haven't I gotten what I wanted? A lot of times this comes from a misunderstanding of a couple of passages, or at least that thought process isn't helped by a couple of passages in Scripture. For instance, John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14 says, ask whatever in my name so that the Father will be glorified. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Jesus says, if you take that passage out of context and don't read anything further, Jesus says, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. Jesus, I want a Lamborghini. Well, why didn't that happen? Okay? And I'm sure you've thought this or wondered this or maybe even been disappointed by this before, and I'm not saying that piece of scripture is bad. I'm saying that that piece of scripture that John wrote, taken out of its context, can be misunderstood, and people say, yeah, but Jesus said, ask anything you want and you can have it, and I've asked and I don't have it. So what the heck? How's this prayer thing work? Well, sometimes we do, if you'll forgive me this morning, and if not, then I'll pray that God forgives me and that'll work too. But sometimes we do what I would call stupid prayers, okay? Just think about it. Sometimes we pray stupid things. God, I need the closest parking spot because it's cold out today. So when I pull into the grocery store, please let the closest spot be open. Amen. Oh, it's not open. I forgot to say in Jesus' name. Oh. Sometimes we pray, God, please let that person fall in love with me. And I don't know if you've prayed that. I had to pray that because there's no way anyone was going to fall in love with me. Turns out that wasn't the secret. But anyway, sometimes we pray stupid prayers like that. Let this person fall in love with me. God, you know, please make this relationship work out. Another stupid prayer, God, please help me pass this exam. I didn't spend any time studying, but I know that you are powerful, God. So please, just make this exam work for me. In fact, I'm going to waste half the class because I'm confident in you, God. Listen, I'm not trying to shoot down prayer. And I'm not trying to shoot down the unlimited power that I truly believe God has. But if you pray stupid prayers, I don't think Jesus is stupid. And in fact, I think Jesus loves us enough, he wants us to realize when we're being stupid. So he doesn't honor those type of prayers. I think Jesus honors the effort that we put into things like tests, and I could go through those scenarios and more. But sometimes I'm just trying to get to the point that we ask for stupid stuff. Okay? And sometimes we ask very seriously, and from the bottom of our hearts and deep in our spirits, we ask for things that are not stupid. Like, God, please help this pain to stop. God, please help my child to live through this. God, please save me from this addiction that I'm stuck in. And there's nothing stupid about those, and we pray those very earnestly. And yet, those don't seem to be answered. And so then again, we look at a verse and we say, but you said ask for anything in your name, and it'll be done. And what happened? Well, let me just offer a few words, and there's no way, I was joking earlier, there's no way I can explain it all, right? I just can't. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough time. I don't think anyone on this side of eternity fully understands, but let me offer a few thoughts for the stupid prayers. Did your parent or guardian that you said you had a good relationship with, did they give you everything you wanted when you were growing up? Man, seriously. I think this is live. I think I'm standing in the usual spot. I don't dance. Come on, did they give you everything you wanted when you were growing up?
No.
Would you, at this point in your life, like it if they had?
No.
No. Okay. Eli, not to embarrass him because he is a fine young man, but wanted to eat dishwasher detergent when he was young because it smelled lemony. You know, can you imagine? Like, what's some of that? Okay, son, here you go. You know, Zoe or Sam, one of them wanted to touch the red part in the oven, and I didn't let them. Can you imagine? Seriously, for some of the things that we ask for, and some of them I'm just going to have to file under the stupid prayers, if your parent, if your guardian, if they gave you everything you wanted when you were young, odds are you'd be dead. And if you weren't dead, DCS would be knocking on their door, like, what is wrong with you? You are not fit to parent. You are not looking out for the best interest of this child. There are some things that we ask for that just wouldn't be good for us. What would the world look like, by the way, if everybody got what they asked for? Maybe it's not a stupid thing, and maybe it's not even something harmful, but let's just imagine that if everybody in this church were praying, what would it look like if we all got what we wanted? And then factor in everyone in the world, and we all get what we want. So on a Sunday where the Bears and the Vikings are playing, and I'm praying, God, please let the Vikings win, and that might be stupid, but I pray that. And then all of you confused people are praying, God, please let the Bears win so the pastor will shut up. How's that going to work? You see, those are directly contradictory to each other. And yet, if you take every person in the world and what they want and line it up, and God just goes, yes, 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 didn't pray in Jesus' name, yes, 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 it's going to be a mess. I trust that God has a little more order than that. Adam Hamilton, again, I recommend that book, Why? He has a great thought on this. He said, when Jesus said, for instance, you can ask anything in my name, or he said, you can take that mountain and you can tell it to throw itself into the ocean and it will do it. He said, we take Jesus hyper literally, as in we can ask for anything and it's gonna happen. He says, we should take Jesus as using hyperbole, that Jesus exaggerated the point of what he was saying so that he could make his point. And his point was, you should feel comfortable knowing you can come to God with anything. You should feel so comfortable that you can come to God, and even if you have a super ridiculous request, maybe a stupid request, that you are comfortable enough, you trust enough in God, you can come to him with that. So I have never prayed a mountain into the ocean, and I'd like to meet the person that has. But I know people have asked bold things and big things and come to God with deep needs because they feel very comfortable doing so. Now, as for the sincere prayers, again, if I could just say a few things, when we're asking for those things that we're very sincere about and they're not terribly selfish and we just don't understand why God doesn't hear, sometimes people say, well, you didn't have enough faith. Great. Because when we have church together, we handle snakes, right? I mean, if we have faith, let's just try stupid stuff. Tim, I saw you doing donuts in the parking lot this morning. When I leave, I want you to do that, and I'm going to stand in front of your vehicle because I have faith. I mean, really? So sometimes we're going to say the very sincere prayer is not answered because we didn't have enough faith. Oh, I'd love to heal you. You're terribly sick, but you're at 75% on the faithometer, says God. Really? I find that unhelpful. Or sometimes people will say, you had unconfessed sin in your life. Listen, who doesn't? Which one of you this week has gone through the entire week and there's just been no sin in your life? So you can pray to God and he answers everything. Bing, boom, bing, bang, bing, boom. Your prayers are all answered because there's no sin in your life. Or like, wait, you know, I still don't have that Lamborghini I asked for. Right. God, I fudged a little bit on my taxes, so forgive me for that. And the Lamborghini now, please. Come on. Because of unconfessed sin, that is the reason that God doesn't hear your deep and sincere prayer. Again, I find that unhelpful. Certainly, there's a whole other sermon about making ourselves right with God. But to say that that's the reason that God doesn't answer our prayers, it hurts people more than it helps. Or, as I've been joking about, that we didn't use the right words, like there's a code we have to follow when we pray. It has to begin with dear God. If you say holy God, it's off. If you start with dear God, okay? And dear Father doesn't work. It's holy Father, that combination and that one only. Or, you don't say in Jesus' name. Listen, I am convinced within my own mind, I cannot find it in Scripture, so perhaps I'm wrong, but I am convinced that if you are praying and you are talking to God, and you forget to mention the words, maybe you're on your knees, or you're in tears, or you're praying so ardently, and you've been praying for so long, and you forget to say in Jesus' name, I think he hears you. This is what I think. But when people suggest, well, you didn't have enough faith, well, you had unconfessed sin in your life, well, you didn't use the right words, what they're trying to do is best understand why that prayer didn't happen, but they can't explain that. And again, those explanations to me end up doing a lot more harm than they do good. So I want you to think about this. Even the Apostle Paul, the Apostle, known as the Apostle Paul. I don't know if he had a last name, but he always got the Apostle Paul. So we'll go with that. He was the OG church planter. This guy went around and spread faith farther than Jesus had spread it. Jesus was busy laying the seed work and prepping the foundation, but Paul took it to the nations, and he went to different locations, and he had several iterations, and I'm out of Asians. Oh, but he spoke to the Galatians. But Paul took faith, And he spread it so far and so wide, I'm going to say Paul was a man of faith. Paul knew that he had sinned and he had tried to hunt down Christians, but he confessed that and changed his life. And he followed Jesus to the best of his ability and was willing to give his very life following Christ. So I'm going to say he was pretty good in his relationship with God, far as sin went. Right words, Paul wrote so many different pieces of the Bible, so many different books. We trust that Paul wrote those. I'm going to say he had the right words, yeah. So Paul, the apostle, Paul, the apostle, Paul, the apostle, wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away this thorn in my flesh. Three times this God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Bible-spreading, church-planting man of God prayed that he would have this thorn in his flesh removed. And it didn't happen. The Apostle Paul had unanswered prayer. And again, I'm going to say it's not because his faith was lacking. I'm not pretty sure it's not because he had this, you know, overwhelming amount of sin or that he used the wrong words. Three times he prayed, remove this thorn in my flesh. But what he writes is, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so here's the big point I want to get to, and some of you are like, just now? Really? Just now? Stay with me, please. Here's the big point I want to get to, that maybe the important thing about prayer, thinking about that response from God, sorry, I just want to hit that one more time to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is complete in weakness. Maybe the thing about prayer is not what we're asking. And maybe it's not even how we're asking it. But maybe that we come to God free to present whatever we want, confident that we can come before God. And if we wanted to be, to go so far that we could say, I want you to throw that mountain into the ocean, and maybe it won't happen, but that comfortable that we come to God, and it's not what we're asking or how we're asking it, but that we're letting God shape us. Maybe the most important thing that we ask for in prayer isn't what we need, though we can certainly do that, but it's that God will shape us, that we need to know where his grace is sufficient, and we need to know where his power is complete, and we need to know that that God, that our God, that our Heavenly Father will provide what he knows is best for us, and we trust in that. So the passage that I really just want to drill this into you to think about as a perfect example, Jesus, according to Luke chapter 22, Luke wrote this down, that Jesus prayed, Father, now, again, just so you don't miss it, apply those things about unconfessed sin and all the damaging responses to prayer. Jesus prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. And he prayed this in the garden before he was captured and put on trial and ultimately crucified. Jesus prayed, God, I don't want this. Jesus' prayer, and you can find this in Luke, and that's what I'm reading to you from. You can find this in Matthew. You can find it in Mark three times. Jesus prayed, God, in essence, this terrifies me. Jesus prayed so earnestly, we're told that he sweat drops of blood. He was on his knees and he prayed, please, God, don't let this happen to me. Please, God, stop this. Please, God, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. So was Jesus' prayer unanswered because some stupid condition? Or was Jesus' prayer fully answered because he said, God, this is what I want. I have talked to you and I have known you and I have lived your ways perfectly on earth. And here's what I want. I can come to you and say that. God, I know the plan all along. We talked about this in the pregame, and here it is at game time, and I know how it ends. And God, I don't want that. I feel comfortable enough saying to you, God, this is not what I would have. But I also feel comfortable enough because I trust you. Not my will, but your will be done. Prayer is another way for us to be shaped like God, and isn't that the goal? Prayer can be and should be an act of trust. It should be a time to come to God and let God make us into who we're supposed to be. And we can feel confident and comfortable asking things. We can tell God what's on our mind. We can praise God. We can have a conversation with God. We can both talk and listen to God. But listening is going to be really important because I think the end goal is to let God shape us in prayer. Not to give a laundry list of what we want. Not only to gripe, though if you've got a gripe, God's big enough to hold that, but to let ourselves be shaped. So what if instead of a list of the things that we think we need, we instead ask that God would provide what we need and that we would learn to trust him more? What if instead of asking God to make someone fall in love with us, we prayed to God that we could be more lovable and show us how to do that? What if instead of praying that God would make the hurting stop, we prayed, God, please make this hurting stop if you're willing. But if not, then give me the strength to get through and help me still to shine like a light for others. Or maybe even, now get this, maybe even instead of only making a laundry list of what we want from God, we simply said, God, what is it that you would like from me? What if we considered God's voice, however it sounds, more important than our own in prayer? And heaven forbid, what if we simply took opportunities to say things to God like, I love you and thank you and just help me to be more like you, whatever that looks like. I believe that what we've done with prayer in the Western culture and over the years is an atrocity. Because every time I look, according to Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, where Jesus prayed, Jesus isn't saying, okay, now Peter's been sick recently, so take care of his cold, and my sandals are worn, so if you'd provide new sandals, and I also just want to let you know that the people aren't getting it, and I'm frustrated, so make them get it. And Jesus stepped aside and spent quiet time listening to God and letting himself continue to be shaped like God and saying, here is what I'd like. And by the way, I love you. And thank you for these things, but not me, God, but you. So how does prayer work? I have no idea. There is still a mystery to it. There is still something like I don't understand. There is still that aspect that you're talking with the God of the universe, and if I told you I have all the answers, well, you already know I'm full of it. But I do know that we could spend a lot more time thinking about prayer as a relationship, and a relationship built on trust. And a big part of that trust is asking what God would like to see, and then learning to live in those ways. So would you pray with me now? God, I give you thanks that you're always there for us. And I thank you so much, God, that you hear us when we pray. God, I'm thankful that I can ask you for Lamborghinis, that I can ask you that it won't dip down below 20 degrees this week. God, that I can ask you to make me more lovable, and you hear all these things. But I thank you more that you know what's best for me and you want what's best for me. And you promise that even in desperate situations, you won't leave me. Because that's good. And so, God, you are good. So please help me to be more like you. Father, when we pray, let us know that you are listening. And let us see you and be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.